In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, now and forever, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. What we heard today in the gospel reading just now was around 800 words, 800 words of an emotionally dense few days in the ministry of Jesus and his closest friends. If I were designing a lectionary, I'm not sure I would choose this lesson for the time of Lent, placing it here on the last Sunday before Holy Week. It isn't a resurrection story, even though it can easily seem like one, especially when it's paired with our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel, where the Spirit of God is putting flesh on dry bones and raising a whole valley to life. The sentence after the end of our gospel reading today is this: but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. After 800 words of our assigned reading, there was a choice, and it was a choice not to include these 15 more words. 15 more words whose time certainly places this lesson in Lent. I have to tell you, I'm frustrated by that choice. I feel like the powers who chose the lectionary have wasted our time. And I have to confess that I wrestle with timeliness. I was raised with parents who feel that if you are not very, very early, you are late. We were getting to flights at airports 2 to 3 hours early my whole life, decades before the government suggested this idea. My rebellion in adulthood is to try to learn to be exactly on time. If I can make it to an airplane gate just as they say, now boarding, I am so excited. If I want to be fashionably late to a party, I have to schedule in the fashionably late time to get there. And I still usually get there a bit early. A Czech priest I knew had a nickname for me that in Czech meant windy. He said it was that I was like the wind because I was always rushing. Untimeliness is a place where I experience dissatisfaction and anxiety and even shame. Is it nurture or nature? It's a whole lot of both. I am who I am. And I come to every text with my whole life. We all do. I know I am reading more uneasiness and distress into this gospel than is probably really there. Yet, when I imagine myself as Mary or Martha or one of their family or their friends or their neighbors, these people who have loved Jesus and who have sacrificed and given so much for his mission, I'm bothered. I know Bethany is a dangerous place for Jesus. He was nearly stoned there. I also know that the cruel powers that he frightens are lurking. But if I knew Jesus delayed, when this was a life and death moment, if I knew he seemed to pause intentionally, if those moments where you are irritable because you are hungry are called hangry, what do we call the moments when you are irritated because of delay? Danxious? Some commentators fret that Martha's statement, "Lord, if you'd only been here," they fret that it isn't showing Jesus enough respect and might even be called whiny. Others say it's a very plausible interaction between family and friends. But sometimes when I read this gospel, I feel like she's not nearly mad enough. Yet it is exactly that emotion that forces me to ask, what do I believe about time and grace? And what do I believe about God's power over things that to you and to me seem late or slow or dead? It forces me into the question of how I can be less than gracious when I measure Jesus by blocks on my calendar. Our text today is in the heart of John's gospel, the very center of which is the lesson that comes at the foot washing on Maundy Thursday and continues through to the dinner and then the betrayal and then the cross and then the outrageous untimeliness of Easter. Words on a page and the binding of papers in a book can lead us into an assumption that one thing comes after another and that the end is the important part. Yet here in this gospel, the center of the story, it radiates meaning in all directions. Jesus has just said that I am the good shepherd. And today he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Strong echoes of the name that God gives of himself when Moses asks his name, when God says his name is I am who I am, or in modern Hebrew translations into English, I will be who I will be. God is unbound by all the ways and means that we crush each other with our definitions of alive and dead, black and white, on time and late. My reading, my frustrations about timeliness, my reading of timeliness issues into this text, it's my issue. It's not God's. Except that God loves me all the way through it, even when my doubt is dead wrong. God comes to us, holds me, holds us in the pauses and the gaps, steadies me in my anxious moments, those moments that cause me to rush and push and try to take care of it all by myself. When I pile all of my calendaring into this gospel lesson, I miss things. I don't see that everything else in their lives is taken care of during those 4 days when Lazarus is in the tomb. People are fed and comforted. People are sheltered, community gathers and attends to its duties. Everything was fine. Not perfect or comic, but more than good enough. A thin Christian practice believes that God is a genie, that Jesus is manipulatable by human timelines. A thin practice is one governed by being easily anxious and hoping for a shiny road with easy answers. The Jesus I know and I follow isn't thin. He's got a thick texture of holiness that he invites us into, a thick texture that has curves I cannot understand, and a pace that is not ours. God's Spirit fills those moments that feel like a delay. God's Spirit fills those moments with sustaining, dense, and muscular grace, even in the dark valley that lays ahead in Holy Week. We may not want any difficult 3 or 4 days ever, but all of us are grown-ups and we know that's unlikely. And when those moments, those 3 and 4 days of delay and trial arrive, we may want them to be done as soon as possible. But God is with us in those delays. God is with us and for us, densely holding us beyond all of our concepts of time and space. I don't know what time looks like for God. I wonder if it's like some of those sci-fi movie versions with dimensions that are interwoven, going in all sorts of directions. I do trust that God's time doesn't go from left to right. It doesn't match with my to-do list, nor fit in the grids on my devices. And it will not be rushed by my coffee-fueled rushing pace. The center of Jesus' being is the same as God's being. That is the good news of this day and all time. This Trinitarian center is the time and the home of our true dimension. Sometimes I make the mistake of confining myself, and sometimes I try to confine God on the wrong page. Jesus challenges my issues with rushing and timeliness that only seem to make me feel satisfied, but ultimately leave us less at peace, needlessly exhausted, and further from the God who calls himself, I am who I am. My work in Lent every year is to move from these false calendars into the true dimension of time and space. That space where Jesus holds me, where Jesus guides us and forgives us and forgives me, especially in my rushing, judgy, anxious parts of life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am life. Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Will you pray with me, repeating after me? Gentle us, Holy One, into a deep breath. Gentle us, Holy One, into a deep breath. A letting go of shriveling anxieties. A letting go of shriveling anxieties and dead certainties. So that surrounded by the light, and open to the mystery, we may be entranced by grace, and filled with the life that is you. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, forever and ever. Amen.